Joshua chapter 4, verses 19 to 24. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to 28. And Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea. When he dried it up before us until we had crossed over, he did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." From 1 Kings. Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "Pardon me, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born." The other woman said, "No, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours." But the first one insisted, "No, the dead one is yours. The living one is mine." And so they argued before the king. The king said, "This one says, 'My son is alive and your son is dead.' While that one says, 'No, your son is dead and mine is alive.'" When the king said, "Bring me a sword," so they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, "Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other." The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." Then the king gave his ruling, "Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother." When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that it is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard, he may, in the presence of my witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Bless the Lord of the word of the Lord.
No problem. We will make sure we pray for you. As I thought of Remembrance Day, I thought of a line in the poem, the chorus, when I wrote some years back. A song actually Ben Crane sings, Ben or Vern Valentine and I wrote, but it says, "Now if memories are the rhymes that bring back the times, and the places that a cowboy's rode, they might hang in the wind, but they'll come back again and they'll warm him when he grows cold. Because he'll remember the friendships and the laughter, the feel of his horse working right, the sunset when day's work was over and the times round the fire at night, the sound of a good cowboy when he's singing, and the words and the poems that he said, and the coolness of that night air that he's breathing as he lays on his old canvas bed. But if memories are rhymes, then what are the times when upward his soul will roam? But he'll stand there amazed where those star herds now graze as he stares round that heavenly home. 'Cause that look of sunlight on silver, that smell of frost in the air, that sound of that tired horse blowing, it'll meet him when he's riding up there." When I think about Remembrance Day, I think about remembering. And I think about my own experience. My family has very little military experience. The name like Thiessen nor Midnight, which meant we came from a pacifist tradition. And my grandparents came out of one grandmother came out of Ukraine during the revolution. My father's mother, my father on his side, his family came out of Germany earlier. On my mother's side, they also came out of that same area a generation earlier. My grandfather on her father came out of Kansas. I'd come originally out of Germany, but had one great uncle who served during the war, Second World War. He was unique. He held down the envious position of being the town drunk in a midnight town. So we've always had somebody a little different. He lost a couple of fingers, was a little shell-shocked. Never did kind of recover, but my knowledge of Remembrance Day was limited to what I learned in school, which dealt with World War II mostly. World War I, I can remember as a kid seeing in the paper there were still some Boer War vets in the Bergen area. There were three of them there in the late to mid-60s. I didn't have an idea what the Boer War was, so I looked that up and I got to know a little more. Then I had a second cousin that served one tour, or was in for three years, and I got to know some of the guys in the Army. And I've told you the story that my hair was too long back then. I went to the graduation, tied it back in a pink wild rag, got in there. I didn't stop at the gate because he said, "Don't worry, the MPs don't have live ammunition." So I didn't stop at the gate. I get there and I'm trying to find him, surrounded by all these guys in Army green. They're all about 6'27" and weigh 240 pounds. There's a guy behind me, he's shorter than me, but he's got a lot of medals on his chest, a little stick, and he says something and they all laugh at me. I just wanted to go home, but I found the people I was supposed to be with. And I confess, I've never laughed so hard inside as I did when I watched these men line up. If you ever watched 100 men line up in a perfect line, moving an eighth of an inch of a time till they're straight in the line like a guy showing pigs. My sense of humor found it pretty entertaining. But I got to know these soldiers as they came out, and I realized the position they were in. They didn't know how to, but it was a particular bad time in the Army for people knowing how to think. They broke you down and built you up, and some of those guys broke down and never got built back up. The one guy talked to his locker all night. They had different things going on, but I watched them work as a unit. They come out to work for us. I take them riding, they're supposed to cut firewood, and I learned you can't just say there's five axes, three chainsaws, two trucks, and three piles of wood. Because they will sit there and smoke and swear. If you say, you, you gave them all the job. They're just like a machine. I'd have thought they'd have worked with three trucks, they'd have three groups loading trucks. No, they'd work all 14, 15 at once, just a conveyor belt, moving wood, stacking her into one truck, go to the next one, to the next. They worked as a unit. But they worked and they served and they spoke. Oren, my oldest son, went in the Army for a bit. He started basic training. They changed basic training from 12 weeks to 10. They sent everybody home. Then they didn't call him up within 6 months, so they broke the contracts. He didn't go back in. I always wondered who he'd have been if he'd have served. He did a lot better. Little time he spent there. He went like a pretty cocky 19-year-old, as we all were. Within a week, he wanted to come home, and I'd talk to him, and I said, just put up with it. I said, there's nothing the Army likes more. Once they told him that they had to go home, they just expect him to sit in the barracks. So these guys, of course, are young. They got nothing else to do. They're sneaking out at night, going to the gym. I said, that's the best thing you can do. There's nothing the Army likes more than a liar and a cheat. You're showing initiative. So we don't know what he'd ended up. He's doing well in the cowboy life, and I'm proud of him. But I thought about Remembrance Day and what it is they did. And the vets I know, most of them won't talk about what they did. I know a guy served the United Nations, some kind of strike force. I don't know what he did. I never asked him. He doesn't talk about it. He said once what he did, I think he was probably a sniper. You'd be on a three-man team. They would parachute in somewhere. He said you'd dig a hole. You'd live in it for 3 weeks to a month. You spent 8 hours on radio duty, 8 hours on sentry, 8 hours sleeping. And then you'd hike out. That's all he's ever said about it. But I know he's got a lot of dark memories. Anyone who served anywhere has a lot of dark memories and has a lot of good memories. I've traveled, Bob Head and I have traveled together, and he tells great stories. Cops tell some of the best stories. Even if they're lying, they're entertaining. You haven't really lived till you take an RCMP officer when you have a ticket from one of the sheriffs. You know exactly what the RCMP think of the sheriffs. They think less of them than I do. But they respect law enforcement. But when we remember, that's what we're called to do. The Israelites, Remembrance Day is not a scriptural thing. The Israelites were not called to remember their victories. They were given things to remember. They're given different ceremonies, different tabernacles, different special holidays were Remembrance Days. It was always about what God had done. They didn't win battles because they were the biggest or the strongest or the toughest. They won because God was with them. When they went with God, they could win. When they went without God, didn't matter how tough they were, they couldn't win. They had to learn that. And in Joshua, those stones that were placed, as they come, they'd come through the Red Sea already, he'd parted. They come, the Jordan's in flood. He says, send the priests on ahead with the Ark of the Covenant. When their foot hits the water, it's going to stop. On the upstream side, it stopped. On the bottom, it ran away. They walked across on dry ground. They took those stones and they placed them as a marker. So when people say, what are those stones for? They said, it's to remember what God did for us on this day. To other people, it's just a pile of stones. But to a Hebrew, it was great significance because it spoke about what God had done. That's what Remembrance Day is. It's this moment when we stop and we remember. The two women in 2 Kings, that is taught us about Solomon's wisdom, but what I see is someone who cares. Now, of course, they say a mother will always care about her kids. That's not true. I've known mothers that were biological, but that's where it ended. But she was willing to set aside her own greatest desire for somebody else. Her child, she said, give that to the other woman. If that's what it means, he can live. She was going to give up what mattered most to her for its sake. And that's what a soldier does. Anyone who serves, they set aside a part of themselves. And they do that. And that's why we remember. Not because of what they've done in terms of their battle or their victories, but how they've done it. They've set aside, they've spent time given to somebody else. And Timothy, like a good soldier, you got to obey the rules. Soldiers play by the rules. Not all of them, but they know how. And all they're asked for in Remembrance Day is that we remember them. They don't say, I want you to glorify. We don't glorify the war. People say, why are you celebrating war? We don't celebrate the war. We remember the people who served, who set aside, and were someone of value. So if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to Romans 12th and the 13th chapter. We're going to look at a few things in there. We won't be too long. But it speaks about the kind of citizens we're called to be, that many of them are. What it is that God expects. Paul has written some things, but he speaks about how we all get along, how we're all part of something. We're going to start in Romans 12. We're going to pick it up in the third verse. By the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, Rather, think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Just as each one has one body with many members, the members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though many form one body, each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously to all. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So it speaks about different gifts. Not everyone is called to serve in the military and the first responders, but we're called to honor. We're called to respect. And simply to remember. As I was traveling up here today, I was listening to a guy talking, about the Veterans Food Bank. They have a big drive on now, and people say, why don't the veteran just go to a regular food bank? And this is a veteran that runs it, and he said, let me tell you why. We sign this thing, this oath, that we will serve and protect the people of the country we're fighting for. And he said, I've talked to vets who have gone to the food bank, and they go there, and they'll see a single mother stand in line to get food. And they will turn around and go home because they will not take what somebody they have sworn to protect into more hardship. So that's why they have the Veterans Food Bank, because these guys take that oath and they still live with it. They took an oath to serve those people. And they do. Their gift is to serve. How they serve is how we often get into trouble. But they serve and they simply ask us to remember. And Jesus said, remember those among you. He did. He gave us the different things. God gave us the different, as I said, the different festivals the Hebrews had to remember his goodness. His word contains many promises. Ezekiel, he speaks about those who stand in the gap. In that case, he's speaking about pastors and teachers, but also those that protect. Those who stand in the gap for somebody else. So what we're asked to do is remember, to honor their memory, to honor their service, to seek give them some honor. That's what he calls us to do. A little bit farther in Romans 13, I'm going to read some of that part where he says that. What we're called to do as citizens, be responsible citizens. He speaks of governing authorities. Got to find the right part because I marked it and then I moved it. There you go. It's not, of course, it eludes me. DK, what am I looking for? You're supposed to know this. You've been pastor longer than me. There you go. It's down to starting in verse 7. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. So you don't need to give a soldier your taxes, but you do need to give your government your taxes because the soldiers, that's where they get paid. And we can argue about taxes all you want. I don't like them either. I don't like the way that they're squandered. There's many things I disagree with. But I respect that somebody's doing something. And you know what? I would rather pay them and call them into account than not pay them and say they're wrong. So I do that. People give respect. To give honor. People need to deserve respect. One thing it said is people with gray hair give them respect. So a lot of you deserve respect. You bald guys might be nervous, but I wouldn't be. You still deserve respect. Your parents. The first commandment with a promise is to honor your father and mother, that your life might go well. So those that deserve respect, give them respect. Those that deserve things. Those that deserve honor, give honor. So simply honor the veterans. You don't have to agree with everything they've been through. Remember, they're following orders. They're doing what they're called to do, but they have set aside part of themselves. They've exemplified what Christ said. He said, no greater love has someone than lays down his life for his fellow man. And as Bob Pohm said, you can see them a lot of ways, but when you see what they really are, what really motivated them, it makes you think. And it makes you move. And you recognize that Christ is living in there. There's soldiers that are Christians. There's many that wonder. But God died for them all. So let us simply respect that. And let us remember the Christ who died for us, and the soldier who carried forth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you especially for those who have served. Let us always be mindful of that as we come into Remembrance Day. Let us get past the turmoil and the rhetoric. As Bob said, you know, they give us the right to disagree. Let us respect what they have done. We may not agree with everything, but let us respect and remember the service they have given and encourage that in one another, that we are better citizens. We're all part of the one body with different gifts and different abilities and different callings, and Father, use us all. Let's be mindful of that. And let us most of all remember your Son who gave his life, that when nothing else makes sense, that doesn't always either, but we know that we hang on to that. We recognize what he has done, and his Spirit lives within us and leads us forward. So let us not glory in war, but let's remember those who serve. Let us pray for one another. Pray for folks in this church and folks beyond. Pray for Faye, as it's a difficult move, but it's a new adventure. Father, you have made her unique. And what she'll be like down there, I don't know, but if we need to give them a letter of warning, we will do so. But send us forth now, because of your Son and because he lives, we can sing this final song. Because he lives, and because a soldier served, we are free to do it here. We ask you for these things now. Pray a blessing upon them. Bless the food we'll receive, the travels we'll have. Bring us together again. Keep us close and keep us yours. Amen.